This program is intended for mature audiences only.
In this exciting show, you will learn exactly how to ask for and receive the lovemaking you want through having more sex, love, and intimacy, and do so in a way that leaves both you and your partner feeling more connected than ever.
I just want to make sure that we understand that needs is a word that's used in NBC, but a lot of times in regular conversation we talk about what we want or what we would prefer, and because people don't like to see themselves as needy, the use of the word need was just to give a real sense of the preciousness of what we're wanting and desiring, and that it's really okay, and it's very universal. If I have a need for respect and consideration, that could possibly be met in a number of different ways. And so that's another important part, is that if I'm sharing a need and I want to evoke empathy, I have to look at it in a very general way so that that other person could connect from their heart with what I'm needing.
Well, needs are, and let's really clarify that we, in NBC, we're learning about universal needs, and a true universal need can be described in one or two words: respect, support, integrity, love. Once you start using more trust, once you start using more than one or two words, you're not really describing the need, you're describing your strategy to get that need met. And that's a very clear delineation, and an important delineation that we use in compassionate communication. So, for example, I want to know Lori has a need for respect. Now, how can I disagree with that? I can't. Of course she has a need for respect.
You do.
We all do. It's a universal need. But maybe her strategy to get that need met is different than my strategy. So if we get into a place of just acknowledging we both have a need for respect and acknowledge that, that keeps us connected. And then maybe we can look at finding strategies to get those needs met that work for both of us. I actually think it would be kind of gross to come inside a woman's mouth, too.
And I, as a woman in receiving and enjoying oral pleasuring, had to come to a point also that I love my body and I love receiving pleasure, and it's okay, and that my genitals are beautiful.
They are. Especially, I love your genitals, Lori. I'm looking forward to envisioning them soon.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach people how to give and receive way more pleasure than they ever dreamed possible. Today on the show, we are talking about compassionate communication for connecting, listening, learning, and lovemaking. I'm so excited about this show because I can literally divide my life into the time before I learned about compassionate communication and after. My life has been profoundly changed by this information and practice, so I'm deeply honored to welcome today's guests onto the show. Welcome Lori Grace and Scott Katamas.
Hi, Patty. It's just wonderful to be here with you.
Aloha, Patty.
Hi. It's just fabulous to have you here. Lori Grace Starr is the founder and director of Celebrations of Love. She's the teacher of All Embracing Tantra, which combines conscious communication techniques, heart-centered spiritual practices, sexual energy, movement, and the latest medical information on maintaining sexual passion as we age. She also sees individuals and couples privately in her San Francisco Bay Area practice. Scott Katamas is a multiple Emmy Award-winning writer, director, and producer who has also studied compassionate communication extensively and who has filmed some fabulous and educational reference clips. We'll give you the links to these so that you can access them to learn more about this work, also called Nonviolent Communication, or NVC, on your own. Both Scott and Lori have worked closely with the founder of NVC, Marshall Rosenberg. I'm really glad the two of you can join us today. Who doesn't want more loving communications? And for two reasons, really. One, to get more of what you want. And two, to give your partner more of what they want, too. So, today, we are going to find out how NVC works. Scott and Lori will tell us about compassionate communication and then role play some situations that they feel are typical of touchy situations arising for men and women communicating about lovemaking. So, I'm looking forward to this, and let's start with finding out a little bit about what is compassionate communication.
It's a wonderful system that's changed my life too, Patty. I can point to the day before and after as well. And it's a way of communicating that makes it much easier for somebody, really anybody, a lover, a child, my husband, whatever, to be able to hear me more easily and also to be able to really sense what that person's underlying needs are, what is going on in a person if they are getting upset or saying remarks that I might interpret as attacks, being able to empathize with them and their feelings.
So how would you say your life was before? I mean, how did it change your life? What would you say would just be a simple two sentences before and after? I mean, I'll just say for myself, the way I look at it is before I was a kind of a slash and burn kind of a girl. You know, when I had a problem with someone, I'd kind of slash and burn. I'd say horrible things. I'd leave the person trashed and angry and freaked out. And after NVC, I'd say the right thing and heal. And we usually wind up happier and more loving afterwards than even before the problem. So, and then find out your two or three sentences just to get a little flavor.
Well, there's several things that occurred. One is that I noticed that I used fewer judgmental words in my communications. And I also really took responsibility for my own feelings more and didn't present myself in any way, even remotely, as a victim. I began to see that when I used the words taken advantage of or I feel used or anything that words that I used to use, that really I was feeling upset and I was really perhaps wanting more respect or more fairness, more equality, whatever was going on. And so more caring. And I began to see that my emotions are really a result of either my unmet needs for something that I'm wanting or my met needs. And by that, I could also say wants or preferences.
Okay, well, we're already getting into some really juicy words here, needs and juicy preferences. Let's hear from a guy now. Scott, what is NVC to you? Just a quick intro.
Yeah, I'll speak from my heart. What's amazing about NVC is right now I have four lovers ranging in age from 31 years old to 56. And all four of them know each other, know about each other. They all practice NVC. We never experience fights. There's not jealousy. It's, for me, extraordinary to be able to have great love with four wonderful women, all of whom I care and adore with, all of whom I have a great sexual relationship with. And it's only because of NVC that I'm able to pull that off and experience it. And everybody can get along so wonderfully well.
So most people, you know, can you imagine just having one lover and getting it right? You know, but we all have a lot of lovers in our life. I mean, we have parents, we have children, we have relatives, we have coworkers. I mean, we all have many lovers in our life. So I think...
That's right. And I have counseled a lot of different people, and it's great for people in monogamous relationships to go much deeper in their intimacy. I happen to be polyamorous. But it's good for everybody. It's good for any kind of relationship. I've watched Lori and her teenage son transform the relationship through NBC. I've watched so many different types of relationships completely transform from anger and hostility to genuine love, genuine compassion through these very simple tools.
Well, I have to say that the same thing. I can't even think of anything where I have seen more miracles happen on a daily basis to myself. Well, I mean, this is truly just a garden of miracles when you learn this. So let's find out a little bit about the basics. What are the basics? We don't have too much time, so I do want to say we're going to have a rich resource guide along with our episode page. So maybe we can just find out, what are the basics? I know that there are objectives, feelings, needs, and strategies.
Just before I go into the basics, I want to say that I, too, have had experiences with more than one lover at the same time and been able to find a lot of ease in how I manage those relationships. And if I've chosen to be monogamous with some man, I've noticed that as well, that I have more ease and joy, harmony. So in terms of the four basic steps of nonviolent communication, or compassion communication, as it's also called, we are talking about when the first thing is you notice what's going on that's perhaps triggering you in some way. And you, if you're going to talk about it with somebody, you describe it as though you were watching it through a movie camera. In other words, you don't use judgmental words. And for example, if I was going to say to somebody, when you so rudely interrupted me, now that is definitely judgmental. And if I said, when you started talking in the middle of my sharing my story, that is an observation. And it's much easier to hear an observation than it is a judgment or an evaluation. Another piece of it is that I might want to share my emotions, you know. And they actually give you word sheets on emotions, because some of us just don't use emotional words that often. So I said, I felt upset. And then the most key important part for me of nonviolent communication is to be able to realize that my needs are what are triggering my feelings. It's not like this guy or anyone is making me feel upset. It's that I get upset because I, let's say in this case of being interrupted, have an unmet need for respect and consideration. And then the last part, so the need or the preference for respect or consideration, and the fact that it hasn't been met is what's driving my anger. It's stimulating my anger. The last part is a request, which is a way of acting to meet my needs. And so what I would then speak perhaps to this person is, would you be willing to allow me to finish my story before sharing with me your responses to what I'm saying? And well, then I have a chance to hear how they respond. And if they say, no, I'm not going to let you finish, then I have a chance to ask them what they're needing that's making them say no to my request. So it becomes a life of living by request and really noticing where the energy is going and really understanding the needs of both parties.
One thing just to add, of course we could go on and on, but a tool just for if you want to get one thing out of this is, whenever you're having a feeling, feelings are beautiful. We absolutely encourage people to acknowledge and get in touch with their feelings. And then ask yourself, what need has either been met or not met? In other words, if you're having an uncomfortable feeling, it's because there's some need or needs that haven't been met. And by getting in touch with those needs, it helps you to get past the feeling. We honor the feeling, but then get past it, like Lori described. Oh, I'm feeling angry because my need for respect wasn't met. And that helps you to know yourself more, or conversely, understand the other person more. So with my partner or my friends, if someone is upset, I'll listen. And then I'll ask them, well, which of your needs hasn't been met, or what are you needing right now?
I remember when I started learning NVC, one of the things that I was so excited about is I was not articulate at all about feelings. First of all, I thought needs was a dirty word. So I couldn't believe anybody wanted to know what my needs were. And I actually thought feelings were kind of a dirty word too, you know. And I was sort of, you know, feelings were something to be ashamed of, and needs were even something to be more.
Because you don't want to be needy.
Right. You don't want to be needy. And feelings, it's like, no one ever asked me what I was feeling, so I just wasn't used to talking about them. And actually, they give you this list of feelings and needs. And I carried that around with me, and so did my partners. And when we were learning NVC, and I'm sure you'll give that as part of your links for the show, by all means, you've got to download this list, because we carried it around. And every time we had a sensitive conversation for, like, I don't know, the first few months, we would sit down and I would say, I'm feeling, and I would like flip down to the list of emotions. And there's like, I don't know, 30 or 40 of them. And I'd go, and I'd like find the feeling. And it took me a while to even learn how to put words to my feelings. And I think for men that aren't used to even verbalizing what they're feeling, this was mind blowing. But I think even me as a woman, and, you know, I'm supposedly educated, and for me, it was totally revolutionary.
I just want to make sure that we understand that needs is a word that's used in NVC, but a lot of times in regular conversation, we talk about what we want or what we would prefer. And because people don't like to see themselves as needy, the use of the word need was just to give a real sense of the preciousness of what we're wanting and desiring, and that it's really okay. And it's very universal. A need, if I have a need for respect and consideration, that could possibly be met in a number of different ways. And so that's another important part, is that if I'm sharing a need and I want to evoke empathy, I have to look at it in a very general way so that that other person could connect from their heart with what I'm needing.
Okay, great. So just quickly, before we move on to needs, what might just quickly be some emotions? Just five off the top of your head, happy, positive ones, and then negative ones for our listeners.
I could be angry, happy, sad, scared.
Confused is a really good one. I find that in NVC, often saying, I'm feeling confused because I don't fully understand what you're saying. I'm taking full responsibility and I'm inquiring more. So confusion's a good one when there's maybe a dispute or people aren't seeing eye to eye. If I take responsibility for feeling confused, then there's an inquiry to understand the other person more.
Right. And you want to look at the list and make sure that you have a real a feeling and not a judgment. So what would one that's a judgment be and not a real emotion?
Well, something like saying I'm feeling belittled or
annoyed, maybe.
Well, annoyed is an emotion. Oh, yeah. But if I'm feeling belittled, I'm feeling misunderstood, I'm feeling I'm feeling taken advantage of. It's a perception of a condition, really. That's described as a feeling.
But then we call them evaluations masquerading as feelings. And you always know it because it's when you say, I'm feeling that you, blank, blank, blank. Anytime you do that, you're not in a feeling. You're in a projection about somebody else.
Okay, so this is why you need the list, so that you actually have a genuine emotion and not a diagnosis. That's what they're called, which is sort of a, whatever you call it, diagnosed as an emotion. So now we can move on to the needs, because I think this is the heart of the compassionate communication. So I was brought up that needy is like terrible, and yet Marshall and others and you all teach that needs are these precious things to be cherished. Mm-hmm. What are needs?
Well, needs are, and let's really clarify that we, in NVC, we're learning about universal needs, and a true universal need can be described in one or two words: respect, support, integrity, love. once you start using more trust, once you start using more than one or two words, you're not really describing the need. You're describing your strategy to get that need met. And that's a very clear delineation and an important delineation that we use in compassionate communication. So, for example, I want to know Lori has a need for respect. Now, how can I disagree with that? I can't. Of course she has a need for respect.
Just like you do.
We all do. It's a universal need. But maybe her strategy to get that need met is different than my strategy. So if we get into a place of just acknowledging we both have a need for respect and acknowledge that, that keeps us connected. And then maybe we can look at finding strategies to get those needs met that work for both of us.
I would totally agree.
And you know what? I think if we act it out, you'll probably see how we can come to that kind of conclusion.
So, Lori, what would you say about needs being precious and beautiful?
I would like to say that one thing I have to say is, as women, we have a tendency to push our needs away and try to nurture and serve others. And so it's been really important as a woman to really acknowledge the beauty of my needs, basically the preciousness, that I have a need for trust. That's a really tender, very beautiful and precious need. And everybody has a need for trust. You do, Scott does, anybody in the planet. We all have needs for trust. I have a need for honesty and authenticity. Or, you know, that is something that's shared by everybody as well. And I have a need for respect and consideration and caring. There isn't one person on the planet who doesn't have that need at some point. And it doesn't mean you have to have the need constantly. Every minute, our needs can change, our dominant needs, every, you know, few minutes even. But it's what is alive us in us at that moment that we're wanting, desiring, preferring.
Here's something for all the guys out there. Do you want to have women loving you, appreciating you, more sexually attracted to you? Here's the most important thing I can tell you, because it's the most important thing I've learned. I have great love in my life. I'm not wealthy. I'm not particularly handsome. It's because I've learned to ask the women in my life two questions. How are you feeling? And what do you need? And I really listen. That's it. That is the most important key to having a quality relationship with a woman.
Wow.
Sounds great to me.
It does. And we're going to take a break pretty soon. But I just want to just ask one more question. And I think, Lori, what you were saying about all of that, about the needs, kind of leads to empathy. Because if we really feel that way about ourselves and value our own needs, then I think it really brings us to a place where we see that everyone has those needs. And when we honor that in ourselves, then that's where the compassion and the compassionate communication comes in, doesn't it?
Yes, and I actually want to say something about that. The very care that I might put into asking somebody what they're feeling and what they're needing right now is something that I really need to do for myself a lot of the time. We call it self-empathy, so I can stay in touch with myself. And in fact, when I'm upset about something, I will ask myself that question several times over and see what comes up. Each of those questions, what are you feeling? And then I'll often dwell on what am I needing, you know, and what would really help me shift. Again, as Scott said, it needs to be general so that the strategies to meet our needs can sort themselves out, either in my relationship with myself or with another person.
Wow, that's really beautiful. Well, I think our listeners may be getting a glimpse of why compassionate communication really has it over the slash and burn method of communication I was using. And please stay with us. We're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. And this is Dr. Patty Taylor. I'm with Lori Grace Starr and Scott Kentomas, and we will be right back. Lori's center is Celebrations of Love. I'll give you the website. That's www.celebrationsoflove.com. Marshall Rosenberg's book is Nonviolent Communication, who wrote the book. And we'll provide the link for this. Other fabulous resources. Scott made some great videos, just really great videos. You'll be able to really watch some wonderful, wonderful more learning stuff on this. Please stay with us.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm Dr. Patty Taylor, and we're talking to Lori and Scott about compassionate communication for connecting, listening, learning, and lovemaking. Before the break, we were talking about how we can use compassionate communication to get our needs met, and a little bit about what the needs are and strategies and just how it works. But now we're going to do some improvisational role playing. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how this is going to work?
Sure. Both Lori and I have a theatrical background, so we really enjoy doing this. And in a lot of the classes we've been teaching, what we'll do is we'll take a real situation from someone in the audience, a relationship that they have where there's a challenge, they'll tell us the issues, and then we'll act it out. And we'll act it out two or three times. The first time we'll act it out is where both people are in what you might call slash and burn. We call it jackal. Jackal is when we are approaching the other person with blame or ourself with shame. It's kind of the blame-shame game, which unfortunately is how most people have been raised to interact, especially when they're fighting with each other. In nonviolent communication, we try to be what we call giraffe. Giraffe is compassionate. We show empathy for the other person. We take responsibility for our needs, our feelings. We observe without judgment. By the way, giraffe was chosen as kind of the mascot because giraffes have the largest heart of any land mammal. They're very tall, so they can see the big picture. They're vegetarian, and yet they're very strong and they're very well respected in the forest. You know, they're not mamby-pambies. A lion will almost never attack a giraffe because one kick from a giraffe can kill a lion. So they're strong animals, but they're also peace-loving. So that's why we chose the giraffe. So Lori and I are going to take a typical situation. And since this is kind of a sexy show, we thought it might be kind of fun to take a scene that has to do with lovemaking.
Yeah, well, great. And not only that, I think it's probably very true to life because, first of all, a lot of people do use NVC and they use jackal and giraffe, and they use NVC too. I mean, those are the terms that they do use in NVC, and they do use a lot of NVC to work out lovemaking issues. So let's get started.
So let's imagine that Scott and I are lying in bed. We've just finished making love, and he thought it was really good, but we'll see.
And the first time we're doing this is we're both going to be in jackal. We're both not going to use NVC, but we're both going to be kind of more like a typical couple might be. The way we might have been 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Oh, wow. That was great, wasn't it, Lori? Mm, boy, love it.
Mm. It was okay.
It was what? Okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay, like mediocre okay?
I don't know. It was okay, Scott.
Jesus, Lori, I can't believe you're saying it was only okay. I mean, I'm telling you how great it was, and I'm all sexy and passionate and think it's really wonderful, and you're telling me it's only okay? What's wrong with you?
Scott.
Well, you always like
Scott,
this. It's like you always have to ruin it.
You again.
Well, you're damn right. You always have to ruin Scott, it. It's like, here we just had this great time, and it's like, oh, it's all
Scott,
okay.
Can't stand this. I'm getting out of here.
Well, fine. You go run away. That's what you always do.
Cut. Okay. Is there an alternative? Please. Our listeners really want to know. Yes.
And just notice that what we did, which was really sad, was immediately we went into blame. You know, we went into, you know, I was feeling hurt. So instead of inquiring more about what was going on with her, I attacked her. And I made her wrong. I wanted to make wrong, which is, you know, what we don't want to do. So this next time we're going to do it, Lori is going to play the role of giraffe, but I'm going to stay in jackal. Unless Lori can authentically touch my heart. but I'm going to stay in Jackal. You just got to kind of, you know, really reach me. And you're going to see how Lori, even when I'm being in Jackal, by talking to herself, getting in touch with her needs, getting in touch with her feelings, can shift the energy.
Okay. Well, good, good.
That sounds just great. So we're going to start it with the same words initially, and then I'm going to start talking to myself when I get in touch with my feelings and needs.
And she'll establish the difference. She'll say, now I'm in self-talk. And then when she's ready to get back in the dialogue, she'll say, okay, now I'm going back into dialogue with Scott. So it's clear for the radio listeners. Oh, that was great, wasn't it, Lori? God, I love how we can fuck. It's just so good. Oh.
Yeah.
So how was it for you?
It was okay, Scott.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, like mediocre okay.
I don't know. I don't know exactly how to call it. It was all right, Scott.
Only all right? What's wrong with you, Lori?
Scott, there was just something, God, I don't know how. Now I'm going to start talking to myself, okay? I'm feeling really confused about how to talk to him about this, and I was really wanting more intimacy. I was wanting more of a heart connect, more looking into each other's eyes, maybe breathing together. I wanted to hear him say he loved me. And I'm sad, actually. And I've been losing a little hope. So now I'm going to go and I'm going to try to talk to him.
And so just to be clear, since we're on the radio, the feelings that you felt were and the underlying needs were?
My feelings were sadness, and my desire was for intimacy that wasn't met. And actually, before I talk to him, I'm going to take some time to reflect on what I imagine his needs and feelings to be. So he's clearly upset, and I'm guessing he'd like some reassurance for what was good, you know, for what I did like in the relation in our sexual connection. And I'm guessing if I really empathize with his needs, that he might hear mine a little better. So I think I'm ready to talk to him now.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with you, Lori. Why do you always do this?
Scott, I'm hearing how upset you are, and I'm guessing that you might really like to have to hear me say some of the things I liked about how we made love.
Well, of course. I just talked about how great it was, and I heard you saying it was only okay and mediocre. It's like, that's a bummer.
So I want to say that what I really enjoyed about it was I really enjoyed, and I always enjoy it, actually. I enjoy how hard you get, and I enjoy how long you can stay hard, and I definitely orgasmed, you know. It was very, very sexy in certain ways, and I really liked that part. And
I'm glad to hear that, because that's how I experience. Laura, you really turned me on. I mean, the reason I get so hard and stay so hard is you're just so hot. So I just want you, I'm happy to hear that. I like that. That's why I was confused.
I like that. Definitely.
So, well, then what's wrong?
Well, it's not a question of wrong. It's really more just that I have a need for something. I'm actually wanting more intimacy. I'm wanting to feel a heart connection that might happen if we looked into each other's eyes some. And, you know, I'd love to hear you share your love for me.
Well, and, you know, I love you. I love you very much.
Well, sometimes I just really need to hear it. And it just really turns me on even more when I hear that kind of thing.
So telling you that I love you turns you more than saying, God, I really want to fuck you?
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, that's... That's interesting to know.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, uh-huh. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I like the other words, you know, when I'm really hot. But if my heart is needing some nourishment, mm-hmm. I love hearing that you love me.
Mm. Well, you know, I do love you.
Thank you. Mm. I really appreciate that.
And just, I get turned on, and so I'm kind of more in that, you know, I want to, you know, it's more that kind of passionate male thing going on, and you know.
So I really enjoy a lot of that, and what would help me feel more the intimacy, if you'd be willing, would you be willing to, the next time we make love, maybe look into my eyes a bit? I would, you know, not all the time, but I would really enjoy that, or, you know, if you're willing to remember to tell me perhaps that you love me, or maybe put your hand on my heart or something.
Oh, now you're going to that really spiritual good. Stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been watching Oprah again or something. Okay.
No.
We're having an Oprah moment here. But it's okay. I understand.
Please understand that.
No,
and
I do.
It turns me on. And, you know, I know that the fact that I love you is a turn on for you too.
Yeah, it is.
In a certain way.
And, you know, I do like looking into your eyes because they're beautiful. They're so blue and beautiful. I'm looking in your eyes right now. It's,
yeah,
you know, I like that.
I like you looking at yours too. Okay.
So you can see, and I want you to know that when I act these things out with Lori, I don't just have in my head, okay, now I'm going to change. She really has to get through to me, and she did, because, you know, she complimented me. She connected with what was right. She got in touch accurately. I was angry because my need for reassurance, my need for being appreciated, was threatened by what I heard. When I heard her say, okay, mediocre, I went into my own jackal mind of judging, oh my God, maybe I'm not good enough, maybe there's something wrong with me, which is kind of typical human response. So by giving me that reassurance, it made it safe for me to genuinely be more interested in what her need was, because I was feeling less defensive.
I'm thinking our listeners might say, though, you know, what's the difference between just pandering to somebody and, you know, just kind of buttering up their ego and being truly empathetic?
One word, authentic. You know, authentic. If you genuinely mean it, and I believed Lori when she meant it. I happen to know that I get really hard with Lori, and I keep my heart on, and so it was real.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're buttering somebody up, if you're saying something you don't mean,
uh-huh.
if it's something you're just saying it to say it, that's one thing. But obviously, if you're really being authentic and you're sincerely connecting with that person, then that's a really important thing. We all need reassurance.
Well, I thought that was a really beautiful scenario. And I have to say, I have definitely been in those situations where I have had to use NVC. In fact, I would say the more intimate the situation and the more charged it is, the more I have needed to use NVC, because the more easy it is to make the kind of wounding misstep that can really damage and hurt somebody. And the more careful I actually want to be so that I don't create those wounds, and the more likely I am probably to have that conversation, possibly if I'm not very skilled the way you are, Lori, I might actually want to wait and have that conversation. Maybe after, you know, the lovemaking, I might want to pull out my white sheet if I'm new at it and say, can we talk about this, and pull out my white sheet. So, you know, when we did that, I felt, and then go down the list and find the right word because, you know, scared because I have a need for, and then find the right word. So I just, because I've done that actually like many, many times.
And I would like to say that, let's say if Scott had responded instead saying, oh, you're just buttering me up to get something that you want, you know, I would then go into empathy with him and saying, I'm imagining you're really needing to feel more trust here in this situation. And I'm really looking, I have a few more things I can share that I really appreciate. I would really like to be believed. And we could keep going with it. So part of connecting is staying with the process. And if the person doesn't really trust, you know, you go further.
Well, I think that's a good point. And probably in a longer term relationship where there's been some long-term history, there's probably a need often for some, you know, some fence mending or some major reassurance in certain areas, and maybe some, a lot of empathy and care to really give that person a lot of,
absolute trust. I mean, let's be honest, in most sexual relationships, especially long term, there's often been times where trust has been broken or their perception of trust has been broken. And Lori is very skilled at giving empathy, and we really saw that. And what's important here is she did both things. She got in touch with her own feelings and her underlying needs, and then she took the time to get in touch with my feelings or her imagining of my feelings and my underlying needs. And as she just pointed out, if I remain in jackal or remain agitated, then as a giraffe, her job is to know her needs and feelings are important, but to put them on the back burner until she really has connected me with me again, and until there's that connection established. And usually we need to establish that connection by giving empathy and getting in touch with what's going on with the other person.
Yeah, and the practice can be amazing, because I know I've just been like a total bitch and I'm having a fight with someone and all of a sudden the light goes on. What am I doing? And all of a sudden I will start doing the compassionate communication, because it's like, do I really want to spend the next 3 days cleaning this up? I don't think so.
Right.
So it's like all of a sudden I am so glad I practiced this. So you can like switch into this mode. But we're going to take a break. And so please stay with us. We are talking to Scott Katamas and Lori Grace about connecting, listening, and learning and lovemaking using compassionate communication. So we will be right back.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm with Lori Grace Starr and Scott Katamas. So,
what we want to do now is, you remember that movie, What Women Really Want? Well, this is for guys, what guys really want. And so we're going to use a role play where we're going to see how I, as a guy, might get or have a higher chance of getting something that I want in expanded lovemaking, since this show is all about expanded lovemaking. So let's imagine that Lori and I are relatively new lovers. We've been together for, maybe we've made love 5 or 6 times. I've gone down on her. We've had intercourse. Sex is really good between us. But she hasn't gone down on me. Hasn't even come close to going down on me. And I want her to. And that's a fantasy that I have. So let's imagine a dialogue about how I might approach that as a giraffe. Since we have a limited time, I'm going to approach it the first time from giraffe. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do self-talk, and then you're going to hear me applying that to Lori. So in my self-talk, I'm getting in touch with, I have a need for intimacy. My strategy for that, or my desire, or my preference, is I want her to go down on me. And I, for me, have noticed that I can only go down on a woman if I really love her, if I feel really strongly about her. I can't just do it with anybody. So I associate going down on a woman and going down on Lori as I really have strong feelings for her. And I'm feeling insecure because she hasn't gone down on me, and I'm wondering maybe her feelings aren't as strong for me as mine are for her. So I'm recognizing that's kind of my need is for intimacy. My strategy is oral sex. My feeling is concern. And I'm feeling also curious. Now, I'm going to try and imagine what her feelings are. I'm imagining she might be feeling scared about going down on me. She might be feeling apprehensive about it. She might even be feeling apprehensive or scared about talking about it. And if that's true, then her need for trust might be a need. So I may or may not be right about that, but those are my guesses. So I'm going to try and find out. So now I'm talking to Lori. So Lori,
it was great lovemaking, Scott.
Yeah,
you pleasured me so beautifully. Oh,
so you like that?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah. I'm ready for some intercourse too.
Oh, good, yeah, good.
Like right now, like come inside.
Would it be okay if I just asked you a couple questions? We talk for a few minutes before I come inside you.
Because this
is that okay?
Yeah.
Because I want you to know I really love you.
Oh, and thanks.
When I go down on you, it's because I love you. And going down on you feels really yummy to me because it's like I'm imagining what you're feeling. And you're so good about moaning and groaning and you know, kind of those little squeals of delight are really a turn on. And I love going down on you.
About it.
I love going down on you. And I'm kind of wondering, there's a part of me that would kind of enjoy you pleasuring me sometime. And I wanted to know how you might feel about that, if it's something that you enjoy, if you enjoy pleasuring a man, or if you might enjoy pleasuring me someday, or if it's something you just don't enjoy doing. And it's anything is okay. What's important is I just want to know where you're at with that. So it's most important that you're honest with me. Mm-hmm. It's not about the right answer.
Well, I can think of two issues that have come up in other relationships. One is most of the guys, if I take time to pleasure them orally, like they don't stay hard in me for very long. And so I don't like to do too much of it because, you know, they get all stimulated. And then when they're inside me, they can't stay erect for very long because they ejaculate.
Right.
So that was one issue. I have another one, too. Okay.
I want to hear that. So, thank you for sharing that. That's really important to me to hear.
Yeah, because I really love the intercourse part, and I don't want to shorten it.
Okay. So.
And then the other part is that I had one lover who, like, the biggest thing that got him off was me swallowing his cum. And, you know, like I did it once or twice, and I didn't like the feeling, the slippery, mucousy feeling. And if I could just pleasure without, you know, thinking that either you're going to come or I have to swallow your cum or something like that, that would help me.
So I really want to make sure I understand you correctly because this is an important conversation, and thank you so much for being honest. I feel even closer to you.
Good.
So my understanding is that it's really important. You like to have a man stay hard for a long time because you and I have long lovemaking.
Yeah,
you know,
we
go on and on and on, and I like that too. And so I
want some soon.
And I definitely don't have a need to ejaculate in your mouth, or I wouldn't want to, because I want to be able to, I want us to fuck for at least an hour. I want that.
All right.
But it would be nice if you trust that I can hold my ejaculation and hold my erection. I'm getting kind of excited. maybe if you could just lick me a little bit, that would be really nice. And I promise that if I even thought I was close to ejaculating, I would stop, I'd shift it, you know, because I do want to have intercourse.
So with other women, you haven't come quickly when
No. But I'll be honest. If you did go down on me for a long time, I probably would get soft. But then the moment...
Hard? Soft? Oh, you mean you'd ejaculate.
I might lose my erection. That does happen sometimes. When a woman goes down on me for a long time, if I'm not on top, if I'm not in a dominant position, I do lose my erection. But the moment I'm kind of on top of you and looking at you and looking in your beautiful eyes and those incredible nipples of yours, and the moment I touch those nipples, I get hard as a rock. So that's kind of the way I am. So would that be...
So let me see if I understand you. You like a certain amount of oral pleasuring. You haven't had a problem with ejaculating quickly after it. And
I actually think it would be kind of gross to come inside a woman's mouth, too. So I actually don't...
Oh, I see. Yeah, so that's not a particular turn on to you.
No.
And that that it feels like a gift of love.
That's like, I guess, the most important thing is just kind of to know that you like me that way. You know?
Well, I'm sure I would.
Because I much prefer coming in intercourse because I love, you know how you and I come together.
Oh, it's so
and
good,
it's amazing,
honey.
How we
it's
can do
so
that after
good.
Only a month.
Yeah. Cool. I love it. I love it.
All right. Let's try it.
Let's go right now.
All right.
All right.
Well, compassionate communication saves the day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And again, there was something we both did. which is an important part. We both reflected our understanding. Now, in this case, because we had a short period of time, we both understood each other accurately. But you'd be amazed how often there might be a misunderstanding. There might be, I heard Lori say something different, and she might correct me. She says, no, Scott, I really want you to be clear. Thank you for wanting to understand me, but my true understanding is, or there might be additional information, that the more she thinks about it, there's additional information she needs for me to understand.
Well, I'll tell you something. I know what you're talking about because when I talk to people and reflect back to them or find out what the other person is thinking, I am astonished by how much misunderstanding there is between people. Sometimes, I'm even more astonished that anyone can hear anyone else at all, because when I check in to see what other people think, we are all in our own little words. And until we really do find out what the other person is thinking, the odds are, until we do have that communication, we really don't understand the other person. So I think it's so important to have that communication. If you're not finding out and communicating with that other person, then hey, you probably aren't having all the hot, juicy, fabulous, amazing sex, and it's probably just because you haven't asked and you haven't found out everything that's possible to have, And so think of the opportunities that are probably available, the love and the connection.
Yeah, and one other thing that I didn't express so directly in the role play, but I would be relying on you, Scott, to give me feedback while you're getting pleasured, so that I'm giving you just the right amount, and just what you want.
Oh, thank you. And likewise, in oral pleasuring, it's so important to have communication and to establish, let me know what you'd like. One thing is that guys think women want them to keep changing. And my experience is most women, once you're doing a rhythm that they like, and they let you know that like that, don't change it. Keep that particular stroke or that particular little tongue thing around the clit going the way they like it, And make it safe to say harder, softer, stronger, firmer, whatever.
Right. So once you open those doors to communication, who knows what other communication, stronger, faster, more. Whoops. Well, we're all getting pretty imaginative now, aren't we?
Yes. And that communication is just so important and hot and juicy. And I'm feeling hot right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We all are pretty turned on here. Great communication. Again, to you guys. I'm 51, so I've been around the block. Communication is the key to intimacy. The better communication you have with a woman, the more likely you are to get your sexual needs met, the more likely she is to get her needs for intimacy met. It's not how handsome you are. It's not how much money you have. It's your ability to communicate.
And I, as a woman in receiving and enjoying oral pleasuring, had to come to a point also that I love my body and I love receiving pleasure, and it's okay, and that my genitals are beautiful.
They are. I especially love your genitals, Lori, and I'm looking forward to visiting them soon.
Well, thank you. So this does bring us to the end of our show. I'm going to ask you one really quick question each. How do you see that having this kind of compassionate communication connects into the work you do with healing the planet?
Well, with healing the planet, part of what I love doing is helping people feel more peace, more harmony, and get more of their needs met. And also, I've brought compassion communication into working with the environmental movement, and I've trained with Al Gore in teaching about global warming. But in all areas of life, whether it's business, whether it is with my son, whether it is with my lovers, whether it is with whoever I'm with, I've found it in my staff, I've found it incredibly valuable.
Thank you for the question. Both Lori and I trained with Al Gore. We're Climate Project presenters. And in the last year, we've both really learned the extraordinary changes that need to be made between humankind and our relationship to the environment. And compassion and communication is a very important tool for helping people and for us to communicate about very touchy issues. And we're applying it both when we give large presentations and also one-on-one. Again, how to connect to people's needs and their feelings so that we aren't coming across in a judgmental way, but in a compassionate way.
Well, thank you. So it starts with us, it extends to our partner, and ultimately it extends out to the entire planet. I love that.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori and Scott. So we do have your links up on the episode page. I do want to say you can find out more about Lori Grace Starr at www.celebrationsoflove.com. And we will have links to Scott's incredible videos. He has videotaped Marshall Rosenberg,
Robert Gonzalez,
who's an incredible person who speaks incredibly beautifully on nonviolent communication. Also, more videotapes of Lori Grace Starr doing incredible work. You can read more about the model. We'll have those great sheets that you'll want to use. Believe me, you know.
Classes and workshops at Celebrations of Love in California and also sometimes in Hawaii, in the island of Maui.
And for any of you who haven't gotten Patty's Expanded Lovemaking DVD, get it because it's great. It works.
Well, thank you. I was going to say Lori Grace Starr has changed my life and the lives of thousands of people, and she's a master teacher of teachers. So this is truly an incredible woman I'm sitting next to. So this does bring us to the end of our show. Join us next week on the Expanded Lovemaking Show when we talk about the science of orgasm with Barry Komisuriak. Send me email at patty@personallifemedia.com. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe today to the Expanded Lovemaking Show so you can get automatic updates as soon as my shows get released. I know you're going to want that. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. This is your host, Dr. Patty Taylor. And that's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking. And I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.